Is this because he won't, like, actually take his pills?
No, this is because it's because he got the flu, and he's got a ton of fluid in his lungs, and you need to get it out.
Is that why they call it the flu? That's why they call it the flu.
hands. All
right. But it's flu because there's fluids, right?
No, I don't think so. That would make sense, but I'm pretty sure it's like a horrible thing.
Oh no, it's short for influenza, F-L-O-O. Isn't it?
Fuck. Yeah, but influenza comes from somewhere.
Influenza is just
long. I didn't think you were being serious. Did you just realize that?
Influenza is long for fluid, so it's a scientific term.
Long well, it's hand. In flu.
In fluid.
So Enza. The fluid is in and.
Enza. The fluid is in, and then when you sneeze, it ends the fluid is out.
It ends up.
It ends out.
That's right. There's the clap right there on there. All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Please Don't Listen to This, Your Life Depends on It, the show where we do something different every single week. And this week, we listen to Billy Joel's The Stranger. Now, I have here with me today some of everyone's favorite scenes from an Italian restaurant. I have the Ballad of Brenda and Eddie. Alex.
Wow. Bottle of red.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
I have a couple of paintings from Sears, Seb.
I'll take a rosé.
And
you have to be the bottle.
I'm your host, a big waterbed that they bought with the bread that they saved for a couple of years. Now.
What's your name?
Nick.
Wow.
I
it's been so long. No. We've been doing this show. I've really been afraid to ask.
I was hoping you guys would just catch on and get it through context clues.
No,
I need a little more help than that.
Now, we've been... This is our first music episode in a little while. At the end of last year, we did Steely Dan, which was a suggestion from Magni Mac. And... this is one of the first ones that we have suggested in a while. I think the last one time we did something like that was all the way back in Astroworld when Cam had us do that.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's been a while. But Alex, the genesis for this episode came from our friend Andrew and the trip home from Anime Boston, correct?
Yes. This is a car home sing-along. Mm-hmm. Situation and whatever Andrew
trying to keep everyone alive.
Whenever
right?
Andrew gets the controls of the playlist, he'll usually do something thematic. There's usually a guiding principle behind the whole thing. But this was the Joel sing along. We pretty much hit every one of the hits, so it was a good time.
Now. Did you see an ad for Billy Joel on the way up?
I think it was inspired by a previous trip. This was part two. I was not involved with part one, but Andrew and Destiny, are good friends and listeners of the show, or friends of the show. Listener of the show.
Mm-hmm. They're gonna come up again at the end of this show.
They went to PAX East the weekend before, or. One of the weekends before we went to Anime Boston. So they'd had two separate trips up to Boston in 1 month, basically. But that trip home also entailed Billy Joel karaoke. So this was just the, he was still feeling it. We were going to do it again type situation. And I was all down for it because I obviously wasn't in the car for that first one. But it's good. Kind of, yeah, just kind of reignited my enjoyment of this, this fella.
And I'm really happy to, this is something that also got brought up last week when we did our suggestions episode. Our friend Dom said more music episodes.
Yes.
Which I can definitely, like, I support
I'm
that as well.
I'm surprised that somebody asked for that. Like, just.
Well, he's a big, I mean, he's a music head, so.
Yeah, so that's, like, I understand that. But, I mean, and we've gotten better, but we've traditionally not been great at the vocabulary.
I think we get better at it every time we do it, though, I think.
Yeah.
I think our struggling is also relatable in a way.
I think it's in the spirit of us trying to challenge ourselves with the show this year. I think it will be good to do this some more, I think.
Mm-hmm. But in the spirit of the car ride karaoke, I want to know what your standards are. When you're either by yourself or you're with a group, like what do you put on to belt out on the way home? By yourself is a completely different game.
Yeah.
By myself is anything and everything. But yeah, go ahead, Seb.
No, take a guess. Just guess.
It's the Sonic Adventure 2 soundtrack.
Well, that's one of them.
Some sort of emo band. Let's see. Some Could Nine be. Inch Nails, perhaps?
Nine Inch Nails is an emo? What the fuck are you talking
they
about?
They aren't? Are you kidding me?
No, they're industrial.
What? What's industrial? What the fuck?
Industrial is pre-emo. That's when they still built
it's
shit
way
in America.
Pre-emo.
What?
The first Nine Inch Nails album came out in 1989.
Okay. My Chemical Romance?
Correct.
Okay.
That's a great answer, actually. I should throw on some of the Black Parade next time I'm in a car like that. Yeah,
I think one of my I've been thinking I just need to make a sing-along playlist because there are certain songs that I find are extremely fun for me to sing. Mm-hmm. One of them being Mama off of that playlist, and I also like Dead
Dead's
The End.
Really good.
Yeah. I like to sing some of my favorite metal band stuff.
Metal.
Camelot, who might come up. I'm thinking maybe in the future.
Wow.
But that's a vulnerable spot for me.
I think we're on we're on the record about how we feel about metal, I think, but I'm open to doing it again.
Yeah. But these are two very near and dear albums to my heart. And then also, so I have, a playlist of like weird folk metal and stuff like that. And I like that shit too.
All right, what brings it into folk metal? Is it string instruments, non-electric? Is it lutes? Do they have lutes in there?
Lutes, hurdy-gurdies.
Oh, of course.
Boy. It doesn't even have to have any like guitars.
I'm glad we're we're doing this remote recording this week because Seb's a little under the weather. But if you were here, I would have to give you a swirly for enjoying hurdy-gurdy music. You fucking
Dude,
dweeb.
The hurdy-gurdy is fucking
you
cool.
Absolute
okay?
dweeb.
Have you ever listened to a hurdy-gurdy before?
Yes.
Where's Cam when you need him?
Right?
Doing his entire hurdy-gurdy man skit.
Yeah. But yeah, there's that stuff. I like to sing all sorts of stuff when I'm by myself.
Hmm.
But in the car with other people, I have trouble finding stuff that I sing, that I know well enough to sing in front of other people, and that other people also like.
So it has nothing to do with vulnerability. It's about trying to match their musical tastes.
It's both a little bit. I've gotten a little bit better, especially if I'm a little bit drunk. Or tipsy, at least, singing in front of other people. It's not like I think I'm a bad singer. It's just when I'm in front of other people, I am. When I'm by myself, I have no quibbles.
No inhibitions.
About it. No. But I used to be in chorus in elementary and middle school, and I did choir at church when I was little. I quit chorus by the time I got to middle school. Like, I went to the tryouts. And I decided not to do it because one of my best friends at the time.
Oh, man, I stuck that out for way longer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, one of my best friends at the time was joining, and she could not sing at all, and I knew if she was sitting next to me the entire time, she would fuck me up really bad. So, oh,
sacrificial move. You had to do it. I didn't join chorus for the same reason I didn't join the drama club, which is that I didn't have time to do that and track and field, which I really wanted to do.
Yeah.
Though now I wonder, because like, I enjoyed track and field and I had like friends there, but like I didn't like it that much, you know, like I it's not like I liked it so much I wanted to base the rest of my life around it or anything.
Yeah,
in the way that some people get with chorus or theater or something, stuff like that.
Yeah, I feel like you're not, I mean, I think out of all the sports you could do in high school, track and field is maybe second to least jock-like. Like, there are...
That's interesting. I didn't think of the phenotypes like that. Tennis is pretty
down there as far as not jock-like.
Oh, yeah.
I think fencing is the most nerdy one, yep.
Fencing is furthest away.
Fencing, running, tennis, then the rest of the sports.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, so I think, like, you fit in there, mm-hmm. probably.
One of the great things about track and field was that you could not be kicked off the team, even if you sucked.
Oh, you know what? if there's golf, if you guys had a golf team, I would put that above. I would put it above tennis.
We had a golf team. They were on my bus.
You had a golf club?
I think golf is somehow more jock-like than tennis, I think.
It is weird about that. I always find it weird when I find somebody who's into golf as a hobby. I'm like, how is that possible?
My brother's a big golf guy.
It's a rich man's game. Middle-class man's game.
He doesn't have any business deals to make, right? Like, it's not like something he was forced to be into. Like, if you're not forced into it, how do you come to find the game of golf enjoyable?
People do it. It's fun.
I think they just like walking and talking.
It's like you hit a ball and then you walk and you talk and you drink a beer.
That's true.
Uh-huh.
And they got carts.
You can act like you're playing sports.
Not many other sports have carts, besides go karts, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Billy Joel would appreciate this conversation. I think. I think this is kind of right in the. This is kind of like right around what we're looking for here.
I want to break this down. So I'm in the car singing specials. We've actually covered maybe a lot of them for the show. Because I did, I had us do Talking Heads at one point, at least a year ago. They have a lot of my favorites, a lot of great songs to sing. But I think I brought this up maybe on our year-end episode, or the last time we talked about listener suggestions. But the first album, Steely Dan's first album, has been in rotation heavy for me because it comes up. Almost by default, whenever I'm in my car for some reason, when I'm not playing something else, it is the least amount of taps away to get to Steely Dan Can't Buy a Thrill. And that was like one of my favorite ones when we did that episode anyway. But one that I really came to is Only a Fool Would Say That is like an all-time favorite. I'm Driving, the sing-along.
Mm-hmm.
But and then a couple there, like Dirty Work, of course, because Tony Soprano also sings that in the car.
Of course.
It comes in waves. Like, obviously, because we're doing this episode, it has been Billy Joel a lot. But I was spinning some REM. I had some Bowie going on. Mm-hmm. I did a little bit of Elton John recently. It's all kind of just in that sphere, but. That's me.
Elton John fits right into this kind of the era of the piano star.
Yeah.
The piano rock star. Done a bunch of different things like that. But like, does it change when you're in the car with someone else, Alex? I don't think you're ever the driver if you're going with someone else.
That's true.
You're always the passenger.
If I'm driving in my car, I will still go to my I'll still play it like I'm solo. And I'll keep it a little bit more subdued, but I'll hit my favorites. But
like how you go subdued, but if I'm in the car by myself, I go fucking like really hard.
Well, no, I mean if I'm in my car driving with someone, I'll still I'll still sing along to my hits is what I mean.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
But I don't go as hard as if I'm by myself, I guess, if that
makes
sense.
Now, a lot of the time when I'm in the car by myself, I'll listen to like an audiobook or a podcast or something. But I do tend to go for music like right first thing in the morning. Like, I'm not trying to absorb any information or remember jokes or whatever first thing in the morning. So it's like, all right, if I'm driving to work immediately, it's like, what is the most recent like song I can think of, most recent album or whatever? And then there as a separate thing, when I was at a friend of the show, Greg's, last year for a little party he did. He had a whole karaoke setup thing in his backyard. And some of the most fun I had was myself and Greg and his friend Durf all doing
Durf.
Tenacious D
Durf
together.
Durf is a nickname or Durf is his real name?
Durf is a nickname.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
That sounds like it's like a part of your last name nickname.
Durf
like,
and
he's
I
like John
ended up
Durfman
wearing the same shirt, which is incredible. We were both wearing the same Hawaiian shirt to this party that he showed up late to. It was a funny moment. Something that I don't traditionally think of as like a belt out in the car kind of thing, but
that's good. That's
no,
a good...
it is good. Tribute especially.
Yeah.
Because of all the little the Jack Black act outs he does, like the flee dee 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 dee, and like in the middle of the song, like you have to hit all of those. That's very important. You have to hit all of those.
Oh yeah.
Like it'll depend like on like on the mood of the morning or just what I'm doing. Like sometimes I'll have a late night, sometimes even recording the show into an early morning at work the next day, and I'm like, all right, I gotta stay awake. Like, what is the loudest thing I can like blast in my car to keep my focus going?
And of course, it's Death Grips, right?
Well, I mean, hey, that'll do the trick. I mean, like sometimes it is like sometimes it's like fucking MF Doom. Sometimes I'll be like the most dad you can possibly be, and I'll put on Led Zeppelin. Which, by the way, I'm going to say a sentence that ages me like a million years. My wife doesn't like Led Zeppelin, so I don't play it when she's in the car with me. How old does that make me sound? How old does that sentence make me sound?
Yeah, you're...
You sound like you're like 40.
You got to go up. You got to go up.
Oh, because she likes Frank Sinatra or something?
No, she likes plenty of musicians from the era. I'd say in general, her taste skews older than mine, but
Who was it? We saw it, fucking the fair.
Oh man,
Marvin's. Fuck.
Who was the
Marvin's Martians?
The fair.
The fair.
Yeah.
Oh, that was
Peter Noon.
There we go.
Peter Noon from.
No. No, it's Peter Noon.
Marvin's Martians. Marvin the Martian.
That's it.
He was from a thing.
Herman's Hermits.
Yes.
There we go.
Yes.
Yes, thank that's you. It.
What do you want?
Nobody wanted to help me with that one.
No.
It's all right.
I got it
for Marvin.
So here is the other one that is, of course, like no person can actually do, but I love to use Queen for this as well.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Queen's great.
Yeah, to get a perfect standard for this.
When this one, I am holding my cat, Faye. Mm-hmm. When she was in the hospital, one of my buddies in another Discord server, who actually gave us a suggestion, was like, oh, listen to some Queen. And I listened to some Queen, and it actually got me through a lot of that. I was despondent because I thought my cat was gonna die.
It's good music.
Their first single, Keep Yourself Alive, which it didn't go big at the time, but like I kept listening to that and I was like, yeah, just keep going. And now that's part of my regular rotation.
You should listen to Seven Seas of Rye, which is one of my favorite Queen songs. That's another really good one to like hit max volume on.
Yeah.
Which I will not deny that all of these things, you know, totally make me sound like a massive dork. Like, all of my examples are really bad. But that is a part of the vulnerability of the car karaoke thing. Also, if you have sent in a musical suggestion to the show, it has entered my long-term playlist for sure.
Wow.
Like, every single one, like, every, like, even Bjork, like, has some songs, like, get onto the long-term playlist
not,
for me.
Not me. Not for me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hang on to this stuff because I really, this will come up in the second segment too, but when I am told, like, hey, we got an album coming up next, I'm like, oh, great. This is something I can do while I'm already doing something else. So I can put this album on loop and let my thoughts really, like, steep on this one for an entire week. And that'll kind of help me collect everything through there. Like, I definitely don't have time to watch whatever movie we're doing for the show, like, five or six times before the episode.
You probably should, though.
I probably should, but I don't have time for that. But I do have time to, like, put on an album, like 6 to 10 times in a single week while the next episode is coming on.
See, I'm very picky about the music I listen to while I'm doing stuff, especially if I'm drawing or something like that. Because I want to be in a specific mood, and if somebody's telling me to listen to this album by this band and it doesn't match my mood, I'm like, no, not right now.
A little preview of the second segment, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, possibly. I definitely can't listen to every, like, type of music or whatever when I'm working out. That is like that has to be a specific mood.
Oh, yeah.
Because otherwise it'll completely throw off the rhythm of things. But, if it's just, like, you know, doing dishes or laundry or, you know, getting ready for work or whatever, like, that's different. Like, I can just have whatever as long as it's music that'll have the forward momentum to keep me going.
Yeah.
But I would also like to say that songs that play in games where you drive get entered onto my carpool list very quickly. So last year, at the beginning of the year, I played Burnout 3, which has a song called Animal by a band called The Mudmen that I really, really love. It's an incredible song to belt out. It feels really great. And it feels feels perfect when you're behind the wheel. Also, in that exact same vein, we have the classic from Burnout Paradise, Avril Lavigne's Girlfriend, is an excellent, if you want to change the mood instantly of everyone in your car to positive, then you put that on and it just works.
Or
it just fucking
annoyed.
Works. What? No, it's impossible. Who could possibly be annoyed by that? A song that has that kind of tone to it is just very... You know, very poppy, very, like, kind of marching drum beat behind it.
Yeah. There's a tradition whenever we're hanging out and we put on Burnout Paradise just because it's a good game to have on in the background and everybody can take a shot at it. We just put on Girlfriend and just loop it for the entire time. There's no other music we listen to. It's
hold on,
just
no, we put
song.
Some of the other ones in there. I believe at one point it was Girlfriend and Paradise City for by Guns N' Roses, which is on there.
Yeah.
It's also on the title screen.
Yeah.
And then the one song that NERD does or that Pharrell does, Rockstar. And, like, those are the only three songs I want to say. But it was something like that. Which reminds me that there were definitely also things from the licensed soundtrack of Skate 2 that also made it onto the Eternal playlist.
Yep. Lowrider.
Only
Lowrider.
Only Lowrider.
Lowrider.
Yeah. But I don't know if you guys have any last thoughts you want to get out about the carpool karaoke selection.
No, I think I covered it.
All right.
Oh, I think my favorite thing to do with carpool karaoke is just completely fuck up Destiny's algorithm because she uses YouTube Music,
mm-hmm.
And if
so
I start
I.
putting in fucking like I've put in Sonic Adventure 2 stuff before, and then it just completely screws over all her recommendations and her autoplay shit. It's really funny.
Alex is lucky this segment came up on an entire Billy Joel focused episode. So I've got plenty of music to play in the breaks here, which means none of that will get in there. We've only got excellent songs from Glass Houses and The Stranger to talk about, which we will be getting into after this brief break.
Wow.
The Stranger was written during the latter part of 1976, early part of 1977. I was living back in New York City, and I was looking for the right producer. And I met with George Martin, the Beatles producer, but he didn't want to use my band. You know, look, who the heck am I to tell George Martin, oh, no, you're not right. That's not right. I want to use my own guys. He produced the Beatles. I mean, the guy was a brilliant, genius producer. You got to imagine, up at the Columbia Records, I hadn't had a successful album at that point. Here it is, 1977. My wife was managing me, and here I am passing on George Martin producing my album. So you got to imagine a little red pencil going through my name on the record company roster. This guy's nuts. But I ended up working with a man who... you know, was my mentor in a way, Phil Ramone. And he got it right away. He came to see me at Carnegie Hall, play with my band, my road band, and he got it. He got the raw energy out of that. And that's what he wanted to translate onto a recording. And it turned out that it was a good choice. Even George Martin came to me afterwards and said, "You were right. That was a good move."
It'll help me find it anyway. Okay. Welcome back, everyone, to Please Don't Listen to This, Your Life Depends On It, the show where we do something different every single week. This week, we listen to Billy Joel's The Stranger. Alex, can you tell me a little bit about your history with this album and why you picked it?
I mentioned it at the top of the first segment, but I've been back in big time, and this was a kind of a recent one for me. I mean, a handful of his big hits are on this album. But a couple of the deeper cuts were newer discoveries for me. So I wanted to... I picked this one because it's a good about 50-50.
Yeah, it's only seven songs long, eight songs long, but there's five singles off of it.
Yeah.
Which is... So you've got like...
Yeah, I was surprised how many I recognized.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, like the ones that I think still see regular radio play now, I think they all do, I guess, depending on the station, but... Only The Good Die Young and Moving Out are the two like that I see the most.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah.
It's also like this kind of fits in with the sort of things that we've done before, like in terms of like Talking Heads and Steely Dan, like the late 70s, early 80s kind of eras fit into what our musical like window that we've been working on, it just like kind of slots nicely in there.
This fits for the show.
Also, he's been at Madison Square Garden like every week for the past month, so it's like there are lots of people doing like retrospectives, and like he was on like a Sunday morning and stuff like that, like pretty recently.
It's in the conversation some more, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. But Seb, why don't you tell me what you thought of Billy Joel's The Stranger?
All right, so Billy Joel's The Stranger. This isn't an era of music I usually listen to just on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it comes up on, like, a radio or something like that, I'm fine with it. But it's not like in my usual rotation.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a little bit going into it. I was like, oh, all right.
Some crusty old cassette tape.
No, not crusty. Somebody's just Betamax. More like not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it really isn't my thing, having listened to the whole album. I don't know, like, so we've done a couple metal albums on this podcast before. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I've gone into, like, some of my other, you know, opinions and tastes on other music episodes. But I really, so the first two tracks,
and The Stranger.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Those I recognized.
I don't think I had ever heard The Stranger before I listened to it on this album.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I recognized that one. I think I recognized Only the Good Die Young.
Mm.
Yep.
And I might have recognized Get It Right the first time. And
pretty good.
So the first two tracks and Get It Right the first time were the ones that I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Everything else I was just very lukewarm on.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, Billy Joel is a really talented pianist and singer and mm-hmm. everything, right?
You're being very gracious and deferential, but you should feel free to talk some shit because he's like, you know, once you play Madison Square Garden for the 50th time, you stop listening to what people on podcasts think of you. So I feel like if you want to talk some shit, this is the place to do it.
Oh, that's I can. but I'm front loading this.
All right.
But yeah, no, like it's all good music. You can tell I like the more, energetic stuff off the album. The rest of it is just very, I don't know, like
mm-hmm.
meh. Like I don't get, it doesn't put me in like a mood to do anything. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
get me, feeling much at all, I guess. Even if, you know, I can tell the mood of the song is like, oh, this is a little bit melancholy. Oh, this is a bit pensive or, mm-hmm. you know, or a bit hopeful or something like that. I'm just like, meh, that's not what I want. I listen to angst.
Man, you would have liked Glass Houses.
Sorry. I don't have a lot of room in my brain for much right now. Yeah, so I was fine on everything, really, that wasn't Moving Out and The Stranger. Like, the Stranger and Moving Out, like, really, really good. Like, I've got, okay. like, some of that stuck in my head. You know, like that? He's really, really, really good at earworms. I hinted last time, I was like, I have opinions about Billy Joel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because our high school, Nick and our high school, had a film class.
Oh.
And they would make, you know, stuff that would play on the TV before the morning announcements, which we only had like once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those things was a music video that they had made for The Longest Time.
Wow.
And that shit got so fucking stuck in my head for like 15 years.
Wow, personal grudge.
Yeah. It's been really annoying. But that's a testament to how good he is at earworms.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I really really like those songs because they're so catchy. The other stuff I was just kind of like, love song, we're talking about relationships, it was just like, oh, huh?
What about like something like Vienna is like going about, you know, about,
I don't want to bury the lead, but Vienna is my big one.
Oh yeah. That one was fine. Like that one I think was pretty middling for me compared to everything else.
Wow.
Like maybe that was like the fourth one.
He's
you know, talking about the. Like, he's like, kid, you gotta slow down, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's because his dad.
You can get what you want, you can just get old, so.
Stuff I only found out after, you know, listening to it 10 times or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't look into that.
Doing some research on it. His dad moves to Vienna, you know, when he and his mom are no longer together.
Mm-hmm.
And, to have that kind of separate experience of, like, you've still got a lot of your life ahead of you and you know you're moving through it and look to people who are older than you and see what they are going through. See, you know, mm-hmm. every time you talk to someone who's like at that point in their life, it's funny because this is like one of his first breakout albums.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he already has songs on there about like, when you get old, you look back on the days and you think about when you were young. But he's like kind of projecting to do that
because
he's
28 years old.
Yeah, he's not. That's like if we wrote an album about that.
Yeah.
But he's projecting to write those songs.
Yeah, that was also kind of the style at the time. Like
it was kind of the style at the time.
Coming off of some but before I get back into Billy Joel, I had a big Bruce Springsteen kick. And all of his music is about being a blue-collar guy, but he's just, like, doing what his father did. It's, like, not him. He was never, like, a factory worker. Mm-hmm. He was just kind of, like, doing what he was exposed to, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it's not, like, lived experience, really.
Oh. Sting did an entire musical about his hometown in Wales, I guess, where they are shipbuilders.
Mm-hmm.
It was an entire musical, but he's been, you know, like in the Police and has his own solo career, and that's not what he does.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's where he's from, so he decided to take all those stories and put them into a musical.
So, I'd like to put out two pieces of, like, Billy Joel's biography that are cautionary tales to show why he's an outlier. The first one is, this one is to any aspiring parents. Billy Joel's parents got him started on piano lessons when he was 4 years old. Now, that doesn't work for most kids. Most kids, when you start with them on piano lessons at 4 years old, they're not going to become Billy Joel. They're instead going to resent you. The other thing I would say is that if you are a deadbeat teenager and you're considering dropping out of high school, Billy Joel dropped out of high school and then became Billy Joel. But if you do that, you are probably not going to become Billy Joel. In both scenarios, I would say he is an outlier and should not be counted with the rest of the statistics.
Yeah, he lives in a cave and he eats 6,000 spiders a day.
I don't know if I want to keep that in.
Spiders Joel.
I know what you're referencing.
He's also, so I know, I already knew like a couple facts about him.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those was that he married a very young woman at one point, who was like 30 years younger than him.
Like you do.
Mm-hmm.
It was gross. So that made Only the Good Die Young creepy to me. I mean, it was creepy anyway because he's trying to get this girl whose name is Virginia to, you know, be bad because only the good die young. And it's going into all this like, oh, you're Catholic.
It is true.
Yeah, don't let them tell you you can't be bad. Yeah. Come on.
And all of that is right. He's correct about that.
Yes.
I mean, I'm like, to be fair, I'm like, okay, I don't like abstinence only sex ed. That's gross. I don't like, you know, religion quashing
people who are religious are wrong about life. Yes.
Quashing people's desires and shit, whatever.
While we're on this, Emily said that she related a lot to this song. She related a lot to a lot of the
songs.
That's
a big one
on
for me. I relate to it.
Basically to the idea, especially that if you are someone who grew up in a Catholic school or heavily religious household kind of situation, to have someone go up to you and ask, why are you doing this? is a very powerful powerful thing to have if you live inside this situation. That can really be the thing that changes it.
That's my read.
I get that, but I was reading it like from the angle of where he had, you know, married like a 22-year-old woman while he was like
Yeah, I don't know.
50-something.
If you are famous, you do that, I think, is kind of... I mean, it's not right, yeah. But...
It's not right. So I was looking at... And I mean, of course, this was when he was 28, so that hadn't been a thing yet. But, I don't know. I read it a little bit creepy as, you know, being too...
Yeah, that's okay. You're allowed to be wrong
too
about
pushy.
The song. It's fine.
I can be wrong. That's fine. I would like to be wrong on this. That's fine. But I also understand the other angle, like, especially what Emily said. Yeah, and then, I don't know, so I talked about the stuff that I did like. The stuff that I did like wasn't really based on lyrics, really. I mean, I guess I like Moving Out.
What do you think about
for that?
Rock and roll songs and, having so much sax and piano in them?
You get a house out in Hackensack, Sam, or no?
Huh?
Did you get a house out in Hackensack? Or is that all you could get
for
your money?
No, he refers to
that
kind of
money?
As the country. Is that, that's not the country.
Hackensack is a suburb of New York.
Okay, so they consider that the country?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess that makes sense. Yeah, I like the lyrics for that one. I like, I don't know, the other ones I'm just like, meh. I read the lyrics for all of them. Mm-hmm.
Nerd.
Because I have a hard time catching them all just listening to them unless I've listened to a song 5 bazillion times.
Yeah, it's just because of the New York accent. It's because he adds all the ERs onto
yeah,
anything.
Yeah, he really has a very strong accent when he doesn't really. I don't know. I'm just very...
Very lukewarm on it?
Yeah, I'm really lukewarm on it. It feels like stuff I've just heard all the time playing in the background at the grocery store or when I worked at AC Moore or stuff like that. So it's just part of my environment, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I'm sorry I don't have like too many takes on it.
Oh, that's fine.
Alex.
That's good.
I do like, I like any song that ends up having a lot of guitar in it and those more energetic songs that I
like. You would have loved Glass Houses.
Do have that. Okay, I will listen to Glass Houses. I will listen to Glass Houses. I'm sorry. Alex, you should have required it. If you said you required it, I would have listened to it. Yeah. The end.
All right.
Yeah, again.
So I started on this like immediately after you mentioned last week that we were going to be listening to this for this episode because I didn't actually have a working knowledge of Billy Joel before this week. Like, I certainly known some of his songs for sure, but I didn't have a working connective theory of what I thought of his music the way his career went. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, he does Moving Out, does We Didn't Start the Fire and Piano Man and all that stuff.
And about, yeah, 5 other ones you always hear.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of other songs where you list stuff, you know how it is. But
yeah, he's a big guy about listing things. I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah,
especially like imaginary places in New York that are based on real places in New York is a big thing with him. But I really love Moving Out, Anthony's song. Great song.
Yeah,
I mean, who doesn't? It's a great song in general. But
yeah. You can't drive your car with a broken back.
Exactly. Yeah. This is one of the...
It's moving up, then I'm moving out.
It's one of the most resonant, like, classic rock hits to me ever. Just the... Because it really just, like, hits my philosophy of working hard is for suckers and you'll waste your life by doing it.
That's
and,
true.
Like, if that is what you want out of life, then that's all you're going to get. All you're going to get is the hard work. You're not going to get rewarded for the hard work. You're going to end up at the end of your life not being able to enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always kind of thought that way, you know. I've always kind of felt that way about it. It just seems like a sucker's game.
Yeah.
And I think that there's an interesting perspective here. So many of the songs on this album are about looking back and wondering what you did all that shit for. Like, in that, through that framework, right? If you're looking at Only the Good Die Young as well, it's like a look at all these rituals that we're put through, and then what do I get out of it? They say what, a golden cross is what you get. That's the metaphor they're using in there. You get a shiny golden cross at the end.
A cross of gold and a brand new soul.
Yeah, you get a cross of gold and a brand new soul. Yeah. and like to look back on that and to in Scenes from an Italian Restaurant, you have, you know, the story of two friends who got married and couldn't stick
Brenda
together.
And
it's like, yeah. Brenda and
yeah,
Eddie.
Yeah, and they're just
It's
reminiscing.
Mm-hmm. And you can't go back to it. You know, they're like, oh, mm-hmm. they go back to the green, but you can never go back there again. Like, it's like, and this is funny coming from somebody who's not even 30 to be writing all of this stuff. But
even then, it's resonant. Like, we're not 30, most of us.
Yeah, I'm 30. But, you know, even at, you know, 28, mm-hmm. I had times where I was like, oh, man, I wish I could go back there.
Mm-hmm. So it kind of puts together like a guiding theme through the album of looking back as a general idea, and he's putting on a character for all of these, which I find interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like they're, you know, almost every musical artist puts on character when they're like, when they're writing the lyrics for their stuff, because only so much shit has actually happened to you. You know, you only have so many real opinions before you have to start inventing a guy. And it's interesting to look at in this way because he is so young and so early in what we would find out was going to be his career, right? Like, he is still touring and performing now, but he was still putting out like culturally relevant music up until 91 at least.
Yeah.
And so to say like, oh yeah, you're going to go on to have hit songs for another 15 years or whatever after this. You're at the beginning of your career in a relative sense, and for you to have all these songs about like looking back and wondering what changed and if you changed and was I going too fast and was my dad right, and like
introspective from very early.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
That's the vibe. That's mm-hmm. what you're looking for, I think.
And I mean, the title track, "The Stranger," is that way as well. But it's coming at it from a second person perspective, almost like looking in someone you love's eyes and realizing they're a different person from when you fell in love, or having them
it's
see
really,
the same thing in you.
There's a lot to that one. It's mm-hmm. it's really good.
The idea that you can never truly know someone else, no matter how close you get to them, because you can't get inside their brain. To a degree, everything that we ever do for someone else is a performance, and I think that is an interesting idea to dig into.
Yeah.
We got the
mask on the album cover too. Mm-hmm. It's thematic, man.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I really like the key change the stranger does right at the start. I think that's super nice. So getting away from talking about the themes, like the narrative themes of the album, and instead just going into the music and instrumentation, like obviously so much of the stuff is catchy. I found myself with a different Billy Joel song stuck in my head every day in the past week. It would change every track on the album plus a couple of extra ones. Emily had me listen to Allentown.
Allentown
driving
is a
home
great
the
one.
Other day. That's another great one. Sleeping with the Television On is another one that I really liked.
That's my Glass Houses certified. Mm-hmm. 100% banger.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to it on the way to work the other day, and I as soon as it finished, I'm like, I'm gonna play that again, because that song is like a minute.
Just do it another time.
It's like a minute and a half too. That song's really short, but.
I forgot to mention that I do appreciate having a motif go all the way through an album, both in terms of like theming in lyrics and also in the music itself. Like in The Stranger, there's a like a whistling section,
mm-hmm.
and then at the very end of the album
he brings that back.
And I like shit like that where you really tie the whole thing together. It's not just a collection of songs.
I think they
are meant to be together.
I think Everybody Has a Dream, it's kind of a low point. I think well, I mean, not a low point. I think it is one of the least great songs on this album, but I do like that they bring back the whistling for that.
Oh yeah, really great. It it does kind of help everything tie itself together. And in that little, there's this little interview that he did for Sirius XM in 2016 that I was having Alex listen to pieces of, where he talks about the making of The Stranger. And first of all, it's very funny and interesting just because he's sitting in front of a piano while he's giving this interview. And well, every time he talks about it, he's like, well, you know, I wanted to do something like this, and it'll play a couple notes on the piano. But what I actually wanted was something like this. And then my drummer threw his sticks at me and said, you've never been to Jamaica. You've never even been close to Jamaica. Why are you trying to do a reggae song? And he's like, well, you know, you're right. So I tried switching up. That was, that was talking about Only the Good Die Young was, like, okay, that's, and so it gets a little bit of like swing and ragtime and stuff in there with the piano.
It's very
switches
like
around.
Rock, very classic rock and roll, like 50s, 60s rock and roll.
It's still just rock and roll to me.
You know.
To like go through these. So the most interesting one is Scenes from an Italian Restaurant, where he talks about how he thinks about Abbey Road, which, you know, the Beatles album Abbey Road, and how so much of it flows into itself. The whole back half of the album flows, each song flows into each other with really nice orchestral transitions that would just work out perfectly. And he's like, I kind of want to do something like that because I have a bunch of half ideas for songs and I'd like to like make each piece of them work. And in order to make each piece of them work, I'll like stitch them together with other little piano riffs and bits of music. And the Scenes from an Italian Restaurant became a framing device for, like, this is a way. It's like, these are just all things that are people talking to each other, all happening in one night at this one Italian restaurant, which is based on a real one that no longer exists. Calzetti's. Oh God, I just looked at it. And
I'd
I probably
to go
just
there
I,
and have,
when
and
I
have
when
a
I tried to when I tried to remember it, I think I just invented a racist Italian stereotype. So
good.
I mean, I literally just said calzoni. So
no, that one's real. The one I said was racist.
Paisanos, okay. Paisanos, Italian house of pasta.
Mm-hmm. But it's funny to think of a
spaghetti.
It's funny to think of a 7-minute song being like a staple. But it's like, this is one of the ones that, of course, he's like, oh, yeah, this one is gets played every arena concert. Like, this is the one. This one always gets a gigantic pop. Everyone loves this
one.
Yeah,
I mean, Queen had Bohemian Rhapsody.
Mm-hmm.
They exist.
Yeah. I suppose that's true. There is precedent.
Long. Yeah.
But I think that's later, actually, because that's 80s. So.
Yeah.
So it's not like this was the first one that ever happened with. But it's fun. It's still not fully common, you know.
This is it is an a weird song with a lot going on, but I do like that. The format of it is interesting. I do like when a song, it has fully inside of it like several different ideas of the song. I think it is the interview you were talking about where you, like, the Beatles influence really comes through. I didn't even really think about it until I listened to that clip that you played me, but it definitely feels like that.
And
it's just like, here's a couple ideas. Here's a cool melody that we like, that I like. Here's an idea.
And he also talks in that about how he wanted to, try and make a Gordon Lightfoot with a song with "She's Always a Woman."
Yeah,
she's like, oh, I wanted to try with a very like. The vibrato in the voice, like, oh, she's always a woman.
Yeah.
He's like, I was like trying to do an impression of Gordon Lightfoot when I was, you know, writing this song, giving something for her. And he's like, oh, and some people thought this song was misogynistic, but what I was saying is I was,
she's really bad, but I love her.
Like, what he was trying to say, at least in the interview, is he says that he was dating someone who was like, on the business side of the music industry, and he's like, she had to do some cutthroat things in the business to make money off of other people. But and he was trying to say, like, oh, it doesn't matter what you do to, like, with these other people's business. When you come home, you're just a woman to me. You are just a person. You're not, like, you're not connected to your job or whatever. But every time he tries to explain this, he sounds very blunt. You know, he's not. it's a funny thing to hear him talk about this stuff because he's not super operatic or Shakespearean. When people talk about somebody, be like, oh, he's just a guy. Like, he is just a guy. He does not have.
This is one of the most just a dude musicians I have.
Exactly.
Seen. Sorry, if you look at him, mm-hmm. right, and you look at somebody else like, what's his face from The Cure, or Billy Idol.
Even Springsteen.
Yeah.
Springsteen. They are still trying to do their character, and he's just like, no, I'm old now. I dress, you know,
I was
nice,
gonna say that
but not weird.
Springsteen has a action movie star jawline, and
yeah.
Billy Joel is like a dude working the cash register somewhere. Like, it's and I think that, like, you know, he didn't graduate high school, right? Like, he didn't graduate high school, and he was just a guy who messed around on the piano a lot because he had lessons since he was 4 years old. He does not exude that star energy in a lot of ways, and the way he thinks about his music comes out in the way he's playing it, where it comes around from noodling around on the piano. And there's a really funny interview that I can't quite pull all the things up, but like one of the first things he says in it is, I hate writing music, which is so funny. And it's about a larger thought. Like, goes on to explain that he hates, like, he just wants to play it. He doesn't want to think about how it comes together as much.
Yeah, there's but the process, and then there's the two sides of it, really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as an artist, it's the same thing. It's like, I don't want to draw. I just want it. I want to look at it. Mm-hmm. I want it to exist.
I want it to be drawn. Yeah.
Yeah, I want it to be drawn. Or I only want to do the sketch, and then it should finish itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one part of the process is more fun or more expressive than the rest.
Yeah.
It's like doing the podcast versus editing the podcast, right, Nick?
I have to generally, yeah, I'd say so. But editing the podcast, to continue this this metaphor longer than you wanted,
please,
is a nice memory of hanging out with my friends.
Aww.
I live in that memory for a little bit longer when I edit it.
Mm. Wow. Aww. Touching.
You're cute.
But I'll
say hi to Nick as he's editing this.
Oh.
Hi,
well,
Nick.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But what do you have any final thoughts on The Stranger, Alex? I had I had a really good time with this.
I'm gonna run through some thoughts on what brought me to this. I touched on it a little bit, but Vienna is the big one for me off of this. Mm-hmm. I think it is like it's my favorite kind of melancholy. I think it is like the good advice, even though he's only 28. It's like mm-hmm. it's still good stuff where it's like, you're gonna die, so go do the shit that you want to do. You're going to make plans. You're probably only going to get to do half of it, and then you're going to fucking die. So go for it. I don't know. It's inspiring, but it's also like melancholy. It's introspective. It's like, the world, you have no idea. You're going to kick off before you even get halfway through the shit you want to do. So just fucking go do it. And like, that stuff is good. It makes me, it works for me. I don't know.
Yeah. I can see that for you.
That's a big one. I'm a big fan of that. And then leading that right into Only the Good Die Young is interesting because I think it kind of continues a similar thought.
Oh, yeah. Where it's that's something that I admire about this album is tackling one idea from a lot of different angles.
Yeah. And like the thought process there being like, why would you waste your time doing this stupid stuff? That in this case being religion, which I also agree with. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, just like do, I don't know. It's a good outlook on life. It's like, please don't waste your time doing this fucking bullshit. Cause you're going to die. and then, Just the Way You Are is like a straight up the middle love song, but I'm like, so it works for me. It's sappy. I don't listen. I skip it sometimes cause I don't always have
not always in the mood
for I'm not always in the mood for that, but sometimes when it hits right, when I'm feeling a certain way, I'm like, damn, that's good. But
you have that on your special playlist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Get It Right the First Time and Everybody Has a Dream kind of are my two least good ones on this, I think. But I still like them. When I listen to this, I get through like the first 6 or 7 tracks, and then I'll usually switch to something else. But I picked this one because I think it's weird because I like a lot of Billy Joel stuff. I wanted to pick one album. I didn't want to just say listen to anything, or like it was hard to pick because he has like 1,000 hits, and there are a lot of songs that aren't here that I love. So
52nd Street has a lot of good ones.
Yeah, I think 52nd Street, Glass Houses, and The Stranger are my three. But I want to touch on Glass Houses real quick. I know some of you didn't get a chance to listen, and that's fine. The big one on that, I talked about it, but Sleeping with the Television On is such a fucking bop. I'm so into it. This song is so damn short, too damn short. It's like 3 minutes. I'm also a big fan of, and we're talking about singing in the car songs. I forgot to mention, All for Lena is like a fucking certified belted out for me. I fucking love that song.
Oh man, that was such a screaming 80s song.
Oh yeah. And then the You Were the One, C'est de Toi, the half French song is like
there's
an interesting,
a really
weird,
funny story about that song where he said,
yeah, I don't know. Yeah, go ahead.
He said in an interview, he's like, okay, for C'est de Toi, I wanted to write a song in French because one of my songs had gotten really big in France. It was, hold on, I've got it right here.
Really
Honesty.
Good way to make French people.
Oh yeah,
dislike
Honesty
you by
is a good
butchering
one.
Their language.
Well, hold on, I'm getting to that, right? So the song Honesty got really huge in France, and he's like, okay, we'll do a little tour of France. We'll go to all the provinces in France, and then he's like, and then at Paris, I premiere this song, C'est de Toi, and I expect this big round of applause. And at the end, only a couple people are clapping. And I talked to the guy at the end, and he said, "Your French was so bad, they thought you were speaking Polish." And nobody could understand what you were saying.
That's so funny.
Oh, man, that's really bad. Oh, man.
Yeah, I definitely see it. Like, I'm not a French speaker. I don't really understand the language. But it's a well-constructed song. I do like he does a good job to my ear. But that's funny.
Emily's not behind me anymore right now. But one of her favorite bands, ELO, has a song that is... you know, hold on tight to your dreams, which is half in French, but it's only one phrase repeated, so you don't have to know that much of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can practice your pronunciation. I mentioned Camelot earlier, and they have one song in French, which none of them are French. Mm-hmm. Most of the band is American, and the vocalist at the time was Norwegian, and it's bad, like even as like somebody who only knows French from high school, it's not good. I skip that one all the time. Just don't do it. If you don't speak French, just don't do it.
Yeah. I actually think you should do it. I think you should absolutely write a song in a language you don't know.
We need to disgrace the French. They need to be
please.
Oh, it bothers me so much hearing somebody sing in a really bad accent.
Seb can send all of those songs to me because that's what I want.
Yep.
Okay, I'll do so. I will do it.
But I have to. There's a couple more of his albums that I haven't listened to enough. Maybe the first couple that he did, like 3 albums before this that I don't have a ton of experience with. But I've definitely kind of carved out my corner of stuff, and I'm glad that you guys got to listen to some of it at least.
For closing thought, I not to be an old guy about it. I don't know what it is. Like, it seems like mainstream music from I don't know the 70s, 60s, 70s, even 80s was more, maybe not necessarily introspective, because now we have people singing about being depressed and how they go to therapy. Which you didn't see back in the day, but it seemed a little bit more about people in general, mm-hmm. like about everybody, about a message for everybody. And now it maybe I'm being an old guy. Maybe I don't listen to enough pop music.
Yeah.
But it seems, you know, love songs are always on there, and then party songs. And then I just don't hear stuff that's like the content isn't the same.
Yeah.
Is what I'm trying to say.
In terms of release popular stuff, I think that this all goes back to the Telecom Act in the 90s. Like the Bill Clinton Telecom Act, where they deregulated that shit, allowed two companies to buy up every radio station so that somebody like Billy Joel does not have the path to fame that he did before of some people liking his music, which gets played on the radio. Somebody else hears it on their radio and they're like, oh shit, I got to get that record so I can play it on mine. It's all organized by one company or two companies as a big promotional rollout in advance, which goes back to what we were talking about just a guy getting there. Just a guy can get there, and it could be someone else. The next Billy Joel, metaphorically speaking, could be, you know, living across the street from one of us, but they don't have a path to being on the radio, even if they are incredibly good.
You gotta get your song and a hit TikTok that goes viral.
Uh-huh.
And then a record company.
I recently watched somebody talking about that, how viral TikTokers who you know, play music and stuff and get big, they're all plants. This person went into how, like, they were always plants.
Yeah.
Like, everybody was always a plant. Mm-hmm. Which is not really everybody, but, like, before TikTok, there were industry plants who we all thought were, like, just some guys or something.
Right, of course. But we've got, like, now we've got a lot of documentation on, like, of course, a lot of this stuff is going to come out later. But we've got plenty of documentation on the people from the 80s and 90s and 2000s who were CIA assets the whole time. But it's the path to, like, breakthrough, right? That idea of an American dream is so limited in terms of what we have now. And that is one reason why we do not see as much variation or as many, you know, kind of like you get the idea. I'm trying to think of
Personally,
the content of the music isn't as varied.
Yeah, I don't listen to new music, so I really I do not want to comment about it, because I'm sure there's some stuff in there that I would enjoy. It's just not really my scene, man.
Yeah, there's the occasional, like, pop song.
It's still rock and roll to me. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Alex is gonna get some white wall tires.
I'm gonna cruise the Miracle Mile.
So, before we get into next week's topic, I would like to briefly mention that our forum got another response. This is from a past suggester of the show, Adam. Thank you, Adam.
Brother.
Yes. Seb's brother, who wanted us to play Lancer, which is a tabletop RPG run by somebody whose work I really wanted to feature on this show for a long time, but didn't really have a good way to do it. There's a webcomic called Kill 6 Billion Demons that I am very, very fond of, that I yelled at Seb to read for a long time.
And then I haven't caught back up yet.
I was very annoying about it, listeners. I want you to know how annoying I was about it. It was like, because Seb was one of the only people I knew who, when prompted to read a comic book, would do it. I'm like, I got to tell somebody about how good this is. And it was Seb.
And of course, we would never do a webcomic on the podcast.
Right, so, of course, except for later this year. But Lancer is a tabletop RPG designed completely by the author of Kill 6 Billion Demons, and it is really interesting and cool. So I would like to get to that sometime. We'll definitely throw that on our ever-expanding list.
D8 to decide what the topic is next week.
That's right. Seb, what are we doing next week, and how on earth am I going to make it interesting?
So we are doing jigsaw puzzles.
Wow.
Because I like to do jigsaw puzzles, and I got on a really big kick of doing them this past winter. Which is a great time to do jigsaw.
I'm going to call my shot for next week. I'm going to have a good jigsaw impression for next week. I haven't worked on it at all. I'm not going to try it yet.
The guy or the puppet?
Next week we're going to have, I'm going to have an impression of the voice that the guy does. It comes out of the puppet where he says, do you want to play a game?
That's true.
I'm going to have it ready. Okay.
All right.
And I'm going to say this right now, so it's on the record, and I'm not going to think about it until next week. So somebody let me know, and I'll do the impression. Okay.
All right. Well.
Okay.
I'm excited though. This is going
to
be fun.
I want you to know how prepared I am for this episode, even with all the shit I talked with it, which is that I purchased this 1,000 piece puzzle.
Whoa! Marvel Comics.
Yes. Marvel. Some Marvel comic covers.
I need to buy a jigsaw puzzle. I have one, but it's not 1,000, so I might have to. I gotta go get one.
Seb said 500, but I couldn't find any 500 piece ones that had a design I liked.
Oh, all right. So, 500 is the limit.
250 minimum. Okay. Preferably 500.
Okay. I gotta look around. Where do you buy them? You buy them online?
I bought this one online, but there's plenty of like places like Least Toy and Hobby probably. Has
where would you walk in and say, "I would like a jigsaw puzzle, please"?
Yeah, Least Toy and Hobby has a bunch. Yeah. Wow. Books a Million sells them. Oh. There's
we could get you
Games and Toys in the Tangier outlets.
You want an Attack on Titan jigsaw puzzle, Alex? We'll walk right into Books a Million and grab one for you.
Thank no goodness.
Problem. No problem.
I need to make Aaron Yeager.
If you want to try to make it interesting for yourself, see if you can time how long it takes you to do it.
I'm going
to
keep a running total.
There's speed puzzling contests out there. If you want to you know, put together all your sit downs.
I was just going to leave it running while I started it and then didn't finish it until right before the podcast. So it would be it would be an entire week on the timer.
Here's what I think. If when you start it, post a picture of where you end after your first session and then like post a picture of where you end after your second session for that's just for us internally. Because of course this podcast is an audio medium and it will not be interesting to describe those pictures. I think, but who knows? I could be wrong.
We're going to have a lot of good talk. There's a lot of good talk about the edge pieces coming up. So, of course. So look out for that.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Do you start with edges or do you not start with edges?
All right. Well, we will see you edging next week for jigsaw puzzles. Bye, everyone. Right.
Bye.
Get it right the first time. That's the main thing.
You want to play a game?
Get it right the second time. That's not the same.